Welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for being here today. It is a bright and cheery day. Okay, maybe not outside, as you just heard the weather report from Dean, and it's a little bit on the overcast side outdoors, but not in this studio. I mean, between what I've got going on in here with our mascot Cooper, I have t-shirts from my guest host, and his jacket lights up. It is a blue candy cane light up jacket adorned with my co-host, Greg Amundsen. Greg, how are you?
Good, good. I had to wear this today because everyone says I have a face for radio, so I'll blend in a little bit.
I can tell you right now, if you are not on the live stream today on Facebook, YouTube, or Acres TV, you're going to want to get there. Although one of the things I heard you say as we were coming in that I don't know I've ever expected to hear, Greg, was, well, they don't have tailored suits at Sam's Club, so it's a little big.
I think I should be getting a kickback on this one.
I would say that that is an outstanding looking suit. So,
thank you.
You wear that around the farm on a regular basis?
No. I guess we worked a corn growers meeting the other day, and all the kids have one too, but I was told I can't wear it to school until the kids wear theirs.
Is there a day that that's going to happen coming up?
Oh, it'll be tonight.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. So I'll be out there sweeping the floor of the gym, and if anyone wants to show up, I'll be wearing this.
All right, so let's talk about the wearing this and why. First of all, Greg, introduce yourself, who you are, where you're from.
Yeah, so I'm Greg Amundsen, Gilby, North Dakota. Everyone says, here's we're from Gilby, we farm up there. They think it's God's country. Basically, look on the map, purgatory. That's where we're at, just south of Gilby. If you don't see on the map, yeah, you need, might need to get yourself a new map. But no, we're a fourth generation farm up there, raise corn, soybeans, rye, and canola.
Well, and for you, you've always, like, you and I, first of all, know each other in person, but we also know each other through Twitter. And you use the handle ND Rock Farmer. You're kind of in the valley, but you kind of, but you have rocks, which is very rare. I mean, as a kid who grew up, when I'd come occasionally to West Fargo to see my aunt and uncle, my dad would threaten to send a like a truckload of rock with to spread around up here because we had plenty. But you must be in a slightly different geographical region than most of the valley.
Yes, Bridget, there is rocks in the valley. But anyways, rare. We're right on the edge. There's a lot of beach sand to the west, irrigation and potatoes. So we're right on the edge of the valley.
Okay. And you talk about farming weirdly. So what do you mean?
Basically not valley farming. So basically, you know, farming weird, we do whatever we want. You know, neighbors are out there chisel plowing and cultivating and creating dust and erosion, and we do, you know, no-till or minimum till. I hate labels, so don't call me either one of those.
Sure.
You know, we just do our own thing.
Does it differ field to field of what you do?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And different, you know, spring to spring, what the weather's like, what the fall's like, who knows?
And
I'm a loose cannon.
But you're not the first generation on your farm.
No, we're the fourth. I'm the fourth. My son would be the fifth if he wants a farm. Mm-hmm. If he wants to, I'm not going to push him into it.
And what was farming like differently that you remember growing up versus some of the practices you're doing today?
As far as tillage, you know, that was a big difference. You know, at our farm, we always had a little bit of livestock. My grandpa was real big in the livestock for a while there. So we had some manure and some different things. But pretty much we're kind of going back to old school, to tell you the truth.
So does that mean you're getting some cows back?
No.
Oh,
the only cows I own are the ones in my freezer. And it's going to stay that way.
Were the cattle gone by the time you were growing up?
No. We used to, my dad and I used to actually get from a local dairy before they shut down. We'd buy their steers and feed them out.
Okay. Local dairy. Was that Beams?
Yeah, that was Beams. Yep.
So as a long time, you know, ag rep in the region, I remember being at or by that farm. When you grow up on a dairy farm, others stand out to you.
Yeah, you kind of flock to your own one.
You do. And I'm okay with that. I'm a big fan of dairy products on a regular basis. Okay, fun fact. Maybe you knew this. We as a nation are down in our fluid milk consumption, but we are significantly up consuming butter and cheese and yogurts. Is that a trend at your house too?
Yes. There's not a lot of milk usually gets drank unless there's Nesquik around or something, or chocolate.
Yeah.
Chocolate Swiss, of course.
Of course.
But there's cheese, cottage cheese, sour cream, it's huge in our family.
Yeah, we are the same way. You know, my family kids, they always grew up with that. And it hasn't changed. Yep. It's a real staple, I think, in everybody's diet right up here. So you mentioned corn growers. What? I know what corn growers is, and it's not just those of you who have fields of corn. So let's give it a formal introduction.
Yeah, okay. So I've been on the corn growers in North Dakota. So we have a corn growers association, which is basically the lobbying side and the education side, kind of. And then we have the council, the corn council. So what the corn council is a percentage of your, I don't know what the number is, but a percentage of every bushel goes towards the corn council's tax.
Sure, your checkoff dollars.
Checkoff dollars, yep, that's correct. So then they use that for research, you know, funding some of the stuff we do, some of the education stuff. So there's two branches. So, you know, it's a voluntary program, although I would encourage you not to refund. But, I mean, it's voluntary. We do stuff. We advocate for corn, go out to Bismarck. I'll back up. We're corn growers, but we don't just advocate for corn. Mm-hmm. When we go to Bismarck, it's anything ag. It doesn't matter if you're a member. It doesn't matter if you're a wheat grower. It doesn't matter anything. We're there for you.
So let's go to checkoff for just a second. Let's go back up to that. Checkoffs happen in ag for all commodity groups, right? Whether you're wheat, soybeans, corn, et cetera. And those checkoffs were voted in by members. A lot of them were voted in the 80s and federally. Am I following the right history?
You probably know more than I do.
Okay.
I don't want to say anything wrong here.
That's okay. And so those checkoffs have been in place for a long time. And when you said refund, I think what you mean by that is if you wanted to, you could request your checkoff dollars returned to you.
Yes,
the way it works, when you sell X amount of dollars per bushel, is taken out and sent in as a checkoff.
Yep, it's similar to sales tax.
Yes, yeah, similar to sales tax. That's a great point.
In North Dakota, all commodities you can get back except for soybeans. That's a federal program.
Federal. When you look at what the checkoff dollars do for you in the state of North Dakota, and because you said, you know, don't ask for that back. I've had people ask that question. Well, I want my money back. That's fair. But beef returns a 13-to-1 percentage, or a ratio, I should say, on their checkoff dollars. What is corn? Do we know?
It's got to be close. I don't know the numbers.
The new markets you get through that are high.
It's huge. You know, people that say that the checkoffs are just stealing money, I always tell everyone, get involved.
Yeah.
If you're not involved, you don't know what they do. I mean, it's hard to monetize what we do, mm-hmm. because there's no, well, we did this program, it brought this much money back.
Right.
You know, on my farm, my dad and I get in this argument all the time because I leave for corn stuff. Well, what's good to do for our farm? Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't do anything for me. But what does it do for ag in North Dakota? Huge.
Which can still reflect back on you.
Yes.
So when you think about lobbying, and you mentioned that you do that in Bismarck legislatively, you're not a registered lobbyist.
No.
But you speak on behalf of corn growers and other agricultural entities.
Yeah, I use lobby because everyone knows that term.
Sure.
I kind of hate using that term.
Right. You're not
good
with labels.
It's more of education. I hate labels. I'm a labelless farmer, tell you that.
Yes.
Except for rock farmer.
We'll
take that label. I'll gladly take that one. But like out in Bismarck, it's not about lobbying. It's all about education. I hate the old cliche, you don't know what you don't know. But it's true.
And I like that you say it that way. It's all about educating. I've been asked to go to Bismarck for a few things. I'm not a registered lobbyist. But that's essentially what you're doing, is you're trying to educate on behalf of a group to your legislative leaders and other groups.
Oh, definitely. There's a lot of bills that don't affect corn or in general, or even, you know, an actual commodity, let's say rural roads or something.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of ag. And we're all about stuff like that.
Yes. How are your rural roads these days?
Ours actually are pretty good in our county.
All right. Good for you. Yep. Got that person on the township board who's keeping a very close eye on them?
Sure. Yeah, that township guy, if there's anybody who has any road problems in Wheatfield Township in Grand Forks County, let me know. I'll take care of it.
You're the guy?
I'm the guy.
Is a township board in your neighborhood a lifetime commitment like it is in many other places?
We'll find out, because I just got voluntold this spring. So we'll find out.
Voluntold. I think... that's probably the best way to describe a lot of things we do in ag. Because did someone come to you and ask you to join the Corn Growers Association? Did you initiate it yourself?
No, I did not. So I've been really good friends with Carson Klosterman, Weinmeier. Mm-hmm. Strip Till for You, if anyone interested.
Yes.
I'll get a little plug in for him.
That guy.
But yeah, that guy. Everyone knows that guy.
Yeah.
Anyways, we've been good friends, and he just kind of prompted me to it and said, Vaughn told me and said, hey, you need to get involved in this. You need to come to the board meeting. Okay.
What are some of the things you discuss in your board meeting? I mean, I've had the good fortune to be in your board meetings in the past, but what do you guys normally have on your agenda?
You know, normally we talk about, you know, NDSU and with SBIR. Mm-hmm. If people don't know what SBIR is, it's
North Dakota State, or excuse me, it is the State Board for Ag Research Extension. I can't remember if I got that completely right, but I know if our show friend Sarah Levis is listening, Sarah will message me and make sure I get the letters right.
That's more accurate than what I was thinking.
Pretty close. Okay.
But anyways, we work closely with them. The council provides funding for a lot of NDSU projects.
Yep.
We work with SBIR and, Bismarck, priorities not just for corn, but for ag. So that's a part of our meetings. We discuss different programs we have going on. General stuff that's relevant for corn.
Yeah, absolutely. And the corn industry is not just the plant in the field. We're talking ethanol is probably a big discussion that you guys go through as well with the ethanol industry.
Yeah, that's a big discussion. Last week here, the Corn Council holds their research symposium. And, people can apply for research project grants. And we sit down and go through them and ask these presenters questions. And they give us a background of what their projects are. They'll vary anywhere from trying to use corn and concrete to corn for all sorts of things. One of them with the ethanol fuel cell. It's so broad what corn can be used for.
It really is. When I go and do classroom visits with fourth graders, I take in examples. And it's everything from literally your cornflakes to corn is used as thickeners and sweeteners in so many different places.
Oh, yeah. Corn's very versatile.
Yes, it is. And we're going to visit about corn and also some of the other things that Greg does, not only with his farm, but industry-wise. Again, if you are not watching on the live stream, please do, because between Greg's light-up jacket and the neon-colored T-shirt I have hanging in here, we have much to discuss and much for you to see, and we will do that when we return. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, and what's probably been my most lit-up guest I've had. Is that fair, Greg, to call it that?
I'll take that.
So Greg Amundson from Gilby, North Dakota, is joining me today as my co-host, and if you haven't seen Greg's jacket, it is blue with candy canes, and it lights up.
Yeah, I'd be wearing my Santa hat too, but my nephew took it.
So. Also, I don't know what's going on in this room right now, but it's like 82 degrees in here, so you and I do not need anything extra on our heads. Oh my gosh. So when I asked you if you would help me out, you didn't even hesitate.
No, I enjoy it. Anything to do with ag or getting a voice out there, I take it as, I enjoy it. Like I go, everyone asks, why do I go to DC? I go there twice a year.
Yep.
I just love it. I don't want to live there, but I love going there and talking to people. I've always said DC's ran by 25-year-olds. If you don't believe me, just go out there.
Yep.
And I just love going there and talking about ag and, basically you don't know what you don't know. And I hate saying that, but it's true.
Okay.
And I love it.
When you go to DC, are you talking specifically to just our regional congressional leaders?
No. Depends on what we're going for. I have to go to Ace Ethanol every spring.
Okay.
For Advocate for Ethanol. And we'll go to California delegation. We'll go all over the place.
Okay.
When we go out for corn, it's usually we stick to our local, there's more of a specific.
Yeah.
But also, our lobbyist, Jim Callen, that we have working out there, he knows everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And, we'll just have impromptu visits with absolutely anyone in the hallway.
Good.
And it's I enjoy it.
Yeah, because again, like you said, you get to share the story of corn.
Exactly.
I had a sugar beet farmer on with me on Friday, and he said when he would do some of those things, and even he was a president of the World Sugar Organization, he would actually pre-cell phone have to carry a laminated picture of a sugar beet because people didn't know what that was.
Yeah, we went to one of the legislative offices, the sugar beet guys were, I think Harrison had given them.
Yeah, Harrison Weber.
Yeah, giving them the pen just before we were there. And we were talking ag, and he said, "Well, do you farm in the bog too?"
We
stopped and we're like, "Well, what do you mean?" Well, Harrison had just given this pen from Crystal Sugar with a sugar beet in liquid that goes back and forth. Have you seen those pens?
I have.
And he thought sugar beets are raised in a bog. because of that.
Oh, we didn't. That wasn't clearly explained to the poor guy.
It wasn't.
Okay.
So if Harrison's out there, you're not doing your job.
Harrison Weber, Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers, you feel free to take that up with Greg on Twitter. He's helping you right in the back.
Yeah. So, it took us 10 minutes explained to him. Basically,
to that congressional leader.
And it was, it's usually office staff or their liaison or whatever, but it took us about 10 minutes of just talking ag with them.
Okay.
You know, it's just general ag before we got into anything corn.
All right.
Thanks, Harrison.
When you graduated from high school, you went off to school. You, diesel tech, you said?
No. I went to the Northland College in East Grand Forks they have a short little ag program.
Okay. Where did you just expected to farm? Did you expect that you were going to do some of these things as well?
No. And I've tried to drive this into my son's brain, but he doesn't quite seem to get it.
How old is he?
16.
He'll catch on in a couple years.
Yeah, he will, hopefully. But when I was in high school, I didn't take speech. I thought it was kind of ridiculous and all this stuff. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. Looking back now, I wish I would have.
Absolutely.
That was, for me, that was my biggest regret in high school, is not taking anything to do with speech and stuff like that.
Well, I think my kindergarten report card said I was bubbly, so my dad was pretty sure I was taking something so I would talk less at home.
Yeah, makes sense.
Not fair, or not surprising, I guess. So when you're in D.C., how long are you out there?
Typically 3 or 4 days. We have a lot of corn meetings or training type things, and then we go on the hill, walk around, do a bunch of meetings, go to the House, go to the Senate. This summer, I took my son when we went. Yeah. We toured we got a White House tour. We went down to Mount Vernon and just some different things. But this was after. This is our own. This is, we paid our way. So I don't want people to think that when we go out there and we're just partying, you know, this is after it's done. You know, I had to pay for the extra hotel rooms.
Yeah.
I had to pay for all these other things. But I was already there, you know, thankfully for corn, or else I wouldn't even have been there.
Right. And that gives you the opportunity to expand the horizons for you, your son. I know I have farmers who say, but I can't afford to take the time off from my operation.
Yep.
But somebody needs to do it.
Yeah, you can't look at it that way.
Yeah.
It's just something you got to do.
Because it comes back to your operation.
Yeah, it comes back. It comes back threefold to anything I do. I mean, I don't, maybe not to me personally, but my community, the North Dakota Ag. If North Dakota Ag can succeed, I'm doing my job.
Absolutely. And we have... That's a predominant industry for us. We can't overlook it. And our ties to energy and so forth as well are just tremendous.
Oh, it's huge.
I don't think we realize how big the employers are in the ag sector. How many jobs in this state are tied to ag and processing?
No, that brings up another thing. You know,
sure.
We just had a meeting with he was at their corn meeting, President Cook from NDSU.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was talking about involvement in ag. And I got to thinking afterwards, I'm like, you know, like you go to accounting. You know, you'd be amazed at how many of these kids probably end up doing something to do with ag if they stay in the area or even not out of the area. I mean, it's amazing how many jobs that going through NDSU or UND or anywhere in the end have some kind of tie to ag. It's unreal.
And the engineers, because you have engineers that you need for civil work, mechanical work, electrical.
Yeah.
You're right when it comes to, well, first of all, ag teachers. That's a great spot. And I think about accounting, HR. All of those things that you want to do, you may not expect that you'll be part of an ag industry, but the odds are high in this region that you will.
Even lawyers, it's huge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't take an ag law class in college. That's one I think I kind of wish I would have. I think I would have enjoyed that, just the learning, the background to some of it. Maybe. Maybe I just didn't need to learn to argue any better than I might.
It's called stirring the pot.
Which you do all the time on social media.
I do. I love stirring the pot.
But not to be vindictive.
No, it's anytime I post something, especially on social media, it's all about, there's a question involved.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to think. I want to know your answers. I want to know the answers to a question, but I don't want to be just some off the wall, just make a smart comment.
Right.
Which I do sometimes.
Which we all do sometimes. Let's face it, snarky me hangs out on Twitter. That's why I'm there.
And that's why I'm there too, because Twitter for me is a release.
Yep.
It's my coffee shop.
Yeah, it really is. It is a coffee shop. And we know a ton of people. We were talking about that before we even started today. Going to other trade shows, other meetings and places, and how many folks we run into. Well, Commodity Classic, for one. And we've both been there with our spouses. And our spouses are forever fascinated with, well, how do you know that person? I talk to them online. But do you know them? Just online.
Yeah.
And they're great.
Yeah, we don't know each other, but we can walk up and talk like we're old friends.
Yes, and do, because we've become that. So, Greg, there's an event that you host on your farm every year called the Root Connection. And after our bottom of the hour news, I want to talk about that and how that started. Again, that's the T-shirt that is hanging up on the screen in front of me today. And it has a great hashtag, Ask a Farmer, Not an Activist. And we're going to talk about all of those things when we return. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. And I have the great fun of having a guest in the studio with me today. And that's Greg Amundson. He's from Gilby, North Dakota. We kicked this off today by having lunch. And one of our sponsors was kind enough to help me out with that today. That was Great Harvest Bread Company. Cassie had no problem bringing us some or getting lunch together for us today. How was your, let me get this straight. It was like a blue cheese roast beef sandwich. Am I right?
I'm not a blue cheese fan.
How was it?
It was good.
Okay, good.
Very good.
And she says that dill, is it the dill bread? That was excellent.
Yeah.
I had a chicken salad sandwich because you said no.
If I was around more, I'd stop and pick one up and take it home. That was good.
They were excellent.
And then the cookie was amazing.
Salted caramel cookies.
And oatmeal. Oh,
geez. It was her special today. So, yes, thanks to Cassie. She normally would be in studio on this type of a day on a Monday in December. She's kind of busy. The holiday baking craze is on.
Well, if she can make all of her stuff that good, I can imagine she's busy.
I have recommended on air that if you farm and you want something different for lunch one day, take those. If you have a meeting, if you've got seed corn growers, you guys have an association meeting, look them up. Have them do box lunches for you.
Agronomy on ice.
Agronomy on ice. I could be doing that. That's coming February 5th.
There you go.
It's 2-5 of 25 this year is the date. So keep that in mind.
On my calendar.
Easy to remember.
On my calendar.
Also, you mentioned your bucket list.
Yes.
Before we got started.
Yes.
We're checking this off.
Yes, this is one of my bucket lists. I've done the radio with you before, but in the studio, this is one on my bucket list. So being on a radio show and live. So now if the good Lord takes me, I'm happy. We're done. We're good.
I can promise you this is likely not the last time you will be in here doing this.
Well, it can't get any better than being here. So.
Well, it could if the sun was shining out those windows and you could see that great view.
It is quite a view.
Now, we do a Here We Grow project every year where we've custom farmed soybeans and corn. And we have toyed with the idea of doing it with a beef animal, raising a calf. I did have to tell the sales staff we are not putting it out on the lawn because... No, we're not putting a cat.
Well, you know, they have a good electric fencer system with ear with
yes, the
RFID tags.
Yes.
So I mean, I'd be all for it. Now I want a longhorn to roam around my yard.
Oh, nice.
My wife keeps telling me no.
It's like a big dog.
I would love to have a longhorn.
If you want to put a collar on it, I'll talk to the boys over at 701X here in Fargo. They can help you out with those collars.
That might be good.
Okay.
I want a mini longhorn though.
Oh, basically, you want a Highlander, like Cooper, my mascot right here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fluffy cows are great.
Fluffy cows are great. Poor Cooper. Every week I say, I should take him home and comb him. And then I forget, and Cooper just stays here. We'll get to it eventually. I have one of your T-shirts here, though, Greg. And I love this hashtag, Ask a Farmer, Not an Activist. And you started that, but then you also started this whole project about bringing people to your farm.
Yeah.
Okay, explain all of that.
Okay, so it goes back a couple of years. You know, you hear a lot of things. Farmers are trying to kill you. You know, they don't care. They, you know, what are farmers doing? They're spending all this money. Why are we subsidizing them? That's a whole other story. We can get that another time. You know, all these other things with ag. Why is ag important? I don't really care. My food comes from a grocery store, right? You've heard that many times.
Every time. Yep.
Oh, it's nonstop. So anyways, so I thought, well, heck, you know, what's going on in my area? How can I get involved? I've been involved, you know, in our area with the youth, 4-H kids, or Project Pizza, which is a, you know, 4-H program.
Sure.
You know, anything to do with kids, I try to get involved with. So I was like, well, what better way to do it? I said, we're just going to bring people out to the farm. There's just no questions about it. I said, I'm tired of hearing about this. I want people to see this for firsthand. Mm-hmm. We're 30 miles from Grand Forks, so we're not too far away, but we're not.
Right next door.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, everyone's so disconnected nowadays. So that's where we came up with the name Root Connections.
Okay.
So it connects you back to your, basically your roots. Everything's connected to the soil. We've done root pits at our farm events. So it, and, you know, all my conservation efforts and stuff. So it all comes back to the soil and your connections. Connection to the soil, connection to a farmer, connection to your food. It's all about connections. This world's all about connections.
Absolutely.
It's not about what you know. It's who you know. It really is.
Yeah.
So that's how it all started. And this was our second year. The first year we did it on the actual farm. Just kind of, didn't know what we were doing. So big shout out to NDSU Extension in Grand Forks.
Oh, yeah.
Worked, without Caitlin, she's not there anymore, but without her help, we could never make this possible.
Right.
We just started it and we said, well, we're going to see what happens. See how many people show up. Just whatever. If anything's better than no one, nothing.
Nope.
The first year, 2 years ago, we had about 90 people or so.
I think so. I drove from Bismarck that day, got there, wanted to be a part of it.
Yep, and Jason Hansen showed up.
He did.
I don't know if he's wearing shorts.
I'm pretty sure he was.
I'm sure he was, too.
You do this in August.
Oh, that's right. He was wearing shorts.
He's still wearing shorts.
Yeah. So anyways, we had 90 people show up. That year, we took them out to a non-GMO cornfield.
Uh-huh.
I know there's a big controversy about that when I advertise it. Well, why is Greg advertising a non-GMO cornfield? All that stuff. Well, ag is ag. Corn is corn.
Yeah.
We basically said, here's my non-GMO corn. We took them out there. Right across the line is my Roundup Ready corn. You see a difference.
Right.
It was just, I use it as a talking point to get people involved. Not that I'm pro-GMO or non-GMO. I'm just.
You're pro-farming, period.
Exactly. It was a talking point.
Yeah.
And a lot of people didn't like that. A lot of things I do are controversial. I don't care. Tell you the truth. So that's how it started. Had it at our farm shop. It went over pretty well. One of the highlights, I know my dad was dead set against this. Was just mad the whole time.
Okay, wait. Why was dad mad about doing it? Just the fact that people were going to see the operation?
That, and I don't think he likes people.
So, oh, well, okay.
It was mainly that he didn't want
to. Not everybody's a people person.
You know how all of our farmers are. We're all shut off.
Yes, we can't be.
Which we can't be. Exactly. That's why I opened my farm up.
Yeah.
We can't be cut off. And I think that was a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the preparation, and he didn't want to be involved.
Right.
But one of the highlights for him, he changed his mind completely. I might get this wrong, but there was a couple Korean or Japanese couple, one or two,
mm-hmm.
had just came in to teach at
UND.
UND, had two young kids, and they had just got here off the plane a week before the farm event.
Wow.
A week before.
How'd they know about it?
Well, they put up flyers on the UND and in the park and some other stuff.
Okay.
I'm connected with a few other groups and stuff.
Yeah.
And advertise, that's kind of how we got going, this advertising thing. And they just found out about it. Hey, they're like, hey, we've never been to a farm before. We don't know anybody around. They came out. They were a little late. We'd already taken the people mover out to the field and stuff. Mm-hmm. So my dad said, great, they threw him in his pickup.
Yep.
Drove him out to the field. Those two, husband and wife and their kids, took them out there. Never been to a farm.
Yeah.
Never met a farmer. They just got here a week ago.
That was a great opportunity.
My dad loved it. From then on, he just fell in love with. He's like, this is great.
He's on their Christmas card list now.
I don't know. I don't know about that, but I mean, he just loved the event after that.
Yeah.
So then this year we did it at my place,
mm-hmm.
which is 2 miles from the home farm.
Mm-hmm.
It's where the original farmstead was for our farm. So we did it there. It worked pretty well.
Yes.
I think we served over 140 plates.
Yeah, I think it was.
We're kind of running out of food there at the end, which is good.
That's a good thing.
And
but the food was super good. So shout out to Mike Dufault for making the food that night.
Yep.
But it's not just we're going to look at a field. There were things for the kids to do. There were activities that involved them being hands-on with corn and soybeans.
Yeah, we had NDSU there. We had some other stuff there. We had pedal tractors for the kids to go on a little race course.
Yep.
In one of my sheds, we had farm machinery outside. You could go on, look at the farm machinery. We had prices on the window. That was a big one. That was a big one from the first farm event. So we were always learning. We put what the price of this tractor would be new
mm-hmm.
for the brand new model.
Yep.
What this tractor is worth.
Yep.
Because my used stuff is junk. So we what it's worth. And then, so they can see that. We had the combine open so they could see inside there.
Right.
They can climb in the cabs. Do everything besides start, and we took the keys.
Yeah, I think that's best.
Yeah.
This is not son-in-law.
No.
Right.
It was close.
Close.
But it wasn't quite there.
Okay.
And then my mom will probably do the combine next year, but she drove her tractor around.
Yep.
And set the auto sear, and she let kids, and it's a big track cab. She'd have sometimes four or five kids in there.
Right.
And she drove them around, let them drive. She would drive them, set the auto. Some people would get in, set the auto sear.
Yep,
They don't realize what we do.
Yeah.
And how intricate some of the stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a fun time.
And, you know, that's probably my favorite thing was when you put the prices in the windows. I had a couple of different people stop me and just say, I didn't realize what this would cost. You know, I'm barely making the payments on my car, and this is a $500,000 combine.
Yeah, and that's a big one we deal with a lot. You know, why are farmers getting this, or why do we need this? Yeah. Well, if farmers can afford $1 million combine, or they, you know, they're out there with these $1 million machines, or you know, all this expensive machinery.
You've never walked in and written a check for $1 million cash on a piece of equipment.
Well, I've never have.
Yeah.
But okay. I've written $250,000 checks, and it hurts.
Oh, it hurts a lot.
And it takes a lot of money. Yeah. And basically, it takes money to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everyone, you hear all these people, your house is your biggest investment. Not for me.
Right. It's very different.
So.
And I think the fact that folks feel better that they can ask someone because they can see them face to face. There's a lot of reasons for me to say I hate Facebook. A big part of that is because there's so much misinformation that's taken as fact. And what you do with the Root Connection allows people to actually get a real fact from a real person who actually does it.
Yeah, that was the whole deal. Connect with a farmer. So we have people wearing these green shirts
at the
event. So if you have any questions, you always come to someone with a green shirt.
Yes.
And we give away a prize. We always kind of have like a little bingo card. There's a meat bundle.
Oh, there's a meat bundle.
Yeah. A meat bundle for adults. There's always a toy for whatever kid.
Yep.
You know, they love that. It's a family event. There's no alcohol. Never will be.
Right.
It's just, you know, we don't want that atmosphere. It's just a family event. Just connect yourself with a farmer, connect yourself with your community.
Mm-hmm.
I know the last year was, or 2 years ago, was our first year doing it. One of the biggest things that NDSU got when people registered was, do I have to drive on gravel?
Oh, really? That was a big question.
That was one of the main questions people asked.
Wow. And do you think it was because they didn't want their cars dirty, or they were nervous about a different driving condition?
Probably both.
Okay.
There's a lot of people that have never driven on gravel, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
You know, and we think we're in a bubble with ag.
Yeah.
You know, everyone knows everything. People don't know.
Mm-mm.
You know, like I tell my wife sometimes, and she probably hate this, but I say, well, that's common sense. She's like, well, if it was so common, everyone would have it.
Right.
You know, so, you know, in the ag community for farmers, it's common sense to us.
Sure it is.
But to other people, it doesn't make sense, or they've never encountered it before.
Speaking of your family, mentioning your wife and kids, how or what changed for them going from first year to second year? Was everybody a little bit more bought into the concept?
Yeah. My wife wasn't really bought in the first year. Mm-hmm. She really enjoyed the second year.
Good.
You know, it's in our yard now, so it feels a little more like home type of thing.
Sure.
Because now it's in our personal yard at the farm there.
Yep.
You know, as far as the kids, well, they're usually gone for football anyways, so they get there late anyways. I think this year, a lot of meals we serve were actually just the football kids all came over after practice, and
they wiped out whatever was left. Okay,
which was nice because then we have leftovers.
That's true, but they were there to help out in a certain way. Respect.
Yep.
I think as a concept, hopefully more folks want to take on something like this. Have you gotten questions from other farmers asking to do something?
I have gotten a couple people, but not as much as you'd think.
Okay.
I've talked to some people. I'm like, hey, we can take this on the road now. We kind of know what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of know the advertising down. We kind of know, you know, kind of what we want,
right,
what people want. And no one really takes it up on me. One frustrating thing for me, though, is I always tell people whether I go into fourth grade classrooms, whether Project Pizza, anything, I always tell someone my farm's always open.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to come out and ride a tractor, you want to come out and see the farm or anything, just
absolutely
come on out. Let me know. And no one has ever taken me up on that.
Most farmers will tell you that, particularly livestock owners as well. I know so many who would say, I would way rather you come out to my operation and see what I really do versus making assumptions.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. No, get involved, learning. I mean, I enjoy learning for industries that I'm not involved in.
Right.
Because it helps me understand where someone else is coming from.
Sure. Well, you know, you and I were talking earlier. I said I had the chance to be a part of touring an American Crystal sugar plant not that long ago. And to me, I hadn't been in one in about 35 years. It was great to see the differences in what's going on now.
Yeah.
I learned a lot.
Technology has changed a lot.
Absolutely.
Any business, anything. I love to learn about what other people are doing, so then I'm more connected to what that thing is.
Absolutely.
It's all about being connected to your roots and being connected to your community and everything.
Well, we've made that connection, but we'll make many more. When we return, we also want to make sure to maybe check on just a couple of headlines and other things as well. So we'll be back momentarily. Oh, we are so blowing through this hour. There's so many things for us to talk about, Greg. I still have stuff on my list. And when I say Greg, that is my guest host, co-host today, and Greg Amundsen. He is here from Gilby, North Dakota, where he farms. And Greg, one of our co-conspirators, if you will, on Twitter, Phil said, tell Greg, welcome to the Red River Valley where soil doesn't blow. I think he was just being sarcastic. Because it's still, soil erosion is still real in every part of the world right now.
Yes, erosion is real.
And I like what you said earlier about the fact that every field is different. We can't just treat it with a blanket.
Yeah, so especially on Twitter or farmers in general, anything I do, you know, I hate being put in a box.
Mm-hmm.
I hate labels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we've been over that before.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone's like, well, you're pro no-till or you're pro this, you're pro that. No, I just don't want to see your dirt blowing.
Right. That's all I'm looking for.
That's all I care about.
Yeah.
I don't really care what you do on farm. And honestly, on my farm, we'll do whatever it takes.
Yes.
You know, whether it's no-till, whether we till the field, whether, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
We'll do whatever you have to.
And in some cases, it's an unfortunate set of circumstances. If you look at the wildfires in Western North Dakota that burned off all that plant material, and then they didn't get any rain or snowfall to bring it back. That's an area I worry about.
One frustrating thing to me is people use that as an excuse. Well, look, this is why we shouldn't do this.
But,
you know, you hear that stuff all the time.
That's not a fair comparison at that point.
No, it's not. So, I mean, I hate people always, you know, talk about, well, you're this, or we don't want to talk to you because you're this, or you're for this. You know, I don't really care what you do.
Yeah.
On my farm, I'll just use that as an example.
Yeah.
I try to produce the best quality crop I can,
mm-hmm.
the cheapest I can.
Yep.
If I always tell people, if I wouldn't feed it to my kids, I wouldn't raise it.
Same. I've worked in the industry all this time and said that.
Yep. So we've known each other for a long time.
Yeah.
So, you know, like one year we had a bunch of Roundup Ready corn,
yep.
sweet corn. And everyone, well, and I believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
We had no bugs. We didn't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
It was good stuff. And,
yeah.
And I tell people if I didn't believe in what I raise or mm-hmm. what I sell, I would not grow it.
Well, frankly, if you didn't raise a good crop, if it wasn't a quality crop that was well raised, you don't get paid for that.
No. So like we used to raise a lot of sunflowers.
Yeah.
When high oleic, which is a higher oleic content, sunflowers came along, I jumped right on board on that because I believed in it. I thought that was a better oil
mm-hmm.
and it was a better product. So I was going to go all in on it.
Yes.
And if I didn't believe in it, I wasn't going to raise it.
Right.
So it's just if I think it's so bad or so good, I will jump that way.
Maybe this is digging us a big hole here, but all
bring,
of the,
bring it on. Okay. I'm used to it.
Well, all of a sudden, there's all this hate for seed oils. Oh, and if you go down the rabbit hole and read all this stuff, you're going to find out why it's so bad. You know, growing up, so to speak, in the industry, raising sunflowers and canola, those were always talked about as healthy oils.
Yep.
Heart healthy.
And we were talking about this, you know, growing up, you heard about the margarines.
Oh, yeah. We weren't supposed to have...
I can't believe it's not butter.
We couldn't
stuff like
have
that.
Butter. Then we were supposed to have margarine.
Yep. And it seems like everyone gets on their bandwagon.
And
we're the same way as farmers.
Sure.
I won't admit that we're not. But it just... Everything is...
But it's all cyclical.
Yeah. It's all cyclical and you can't overindulge in just one thing.
I have pictures from my family farm when Herefords were the size of a Great Dane. They were just an overlarge sized dog. Now Herefords are much larger, longer in the body. They've got a good temperament. They're crossbred with Angus. That too is a cycle. So whether it's in livestock or the crop production, things change.
Oh, everything's cyclical.
Yeah.
So, you know, food labeling, you know, that's a big one that comes up.
Yes.
You know, all this stuff, it's one day it's good for you, one day it's bad for you.
Sure it is.
And
here's my greater thing. I literally had somebody ask me this, and maybe I'm getting too close in the weeds for our last like 1 minute. I literally had someone tell me, well, what do you think is going to happen when RFK gets in here and starts, you know, completely dismantling our food system? First of all, I hear a lot of rhetoric in politics. Good luck getting all the things done that you promised, number one. Number two, your first problem, get every American off the couch and walking, and then we'll talk about what we eat. But first of all, we have a huge lack of exercise before we have any other problems.
Yeah, it's not what we eat, it's how we, or it's not always... what we eat, it's how much we eat, what, you know, what goes along with it.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of that.
No.
Greg, Thank you. Okay, we got like the 1 minute deal here yet. All right, 50 seconds, Addison said. What should people know?
Well, basically, I'm just a farmer. Nothing special. But I like to promote our industry. If you want to follow me, I'm on Rock Farmer on Twitter or X or whatever the heck
ND
you call it.
ND Rock Farmer.
ND Rock Farmer. Yep. So, you know, I'm always around. Farm's always open. Come on out.
And when you get ready to do the Root Connections event again next summer, late in the summer.
August 7th.
August 7th. I'm writing that down so we can make sure we tell people about it. August 7th. Okay. All right. Thanks for joining us today, folks. Make sure that you stay tuned. The Jay Thomas Show is coming next.